scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And I believe it's on page 816, not 817. But I could be wrong. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Last Sunday, Justin finished a year and a half study, not by himself, but he was the capstone as he preached through the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. And if you're wondering what's next, well, for the month of June, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at the subject of rest, renewal, restoration, and those things. Probably every one of us could use a little rest, renewal, restoration in our lives. So I'm starting off with the passage from Matthew 11 this morning. Next week, Lord willing, Josh Klink will be looking at Jeremiah 31 about God restoring. Then 2 weeks from now, we'll look at the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, a day of rest, and the gift that God gives us in that. And then, Lord willing, to wrap it up, Justin will come and talk about our future rest that we have in Christ. So that's the tentative plan, and I hope you won't rest too much right now. You'll stay alert and awake for this. A big picture, the topic this morning really is simple. Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. We want to start off with the invitation and the invitees. The invitation and those who are invited. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Notice that Jesus' invitation is to come to him. We receive invitations, it used to be in the mail, now it's more text and emails and those kind of things. But invitations are, come to an event, come to a place, and some of you perhaps are invited to come to a beach house and find rest. Or you're invited to a program that talks about 7 steps to a peaceful mind and body. Or maybe you're thinking of being invited eventually when you turn a certain age of entering into retirement. And around that age, you start getting all these mail things, advertisements about your golden years and how you can really rest. You've been working for all this time and now you can finally rest. No, Jesus, his invitation is to a person. It's to himself. Because in the Bible, in Christianity, faith is a relationship with God. It's not just believing in God, it's knowing God, enjoying him. And Jesus says, do you want rest? I invite you to come to me, the person. Now, this invitation is both gracious and it is audacious. It's gracious and audacious. It's gracious because the person issuing this invitation is none other than the creator of the world, the King of Kings, the one who sustains all things, the one who will come back to judge the living and the dead. That's who the invitation comes from. You ever get a piece of mail and you're not sure who it's from? You're trying to look for the return address. Do I know this person? Is it just spam mail, whatever? This invitation comes from the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And yet, it's being issued to us as the one who is gentle and lowly. The one who has taken on our flesh and knows our needs and is a tender shepherd to us. It's an invitation from this great king, but a king who comes and delivers it in person and says, come to me. It's interesting, in a similar invitation in Isaiah chapter 40, where he talks about, if you're weary, come to him, rest in him, trust in him, and he will exchange your weariness for rest and renewal and strength. But before he does that, again, we have in Isaiah 40 this great picture of God's power, his majesty, his greatness. There's no one like him. My friends, that's who's offering us this invitation. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and yet the tender shepherd of our souls. It's a gracious invitation. It's also an audacious invitation. Think about it. Who else could give an invitation and say, come to me, and I will give you rest? I want to just contrast it with this. You're at a neighborhood barbecue gathering, and you're talking to your neighbor, and he says, how are things? And you go, you know, I've just been worn out. Life's been busy. The kids, sickness, work, et cetera, et cetera. And your neighbor stops you and says, wait, I have the solution. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And you look at this person like, they're out of their minds. How can I come to someone and they're going to give me rest? But this is what Jesus does here. Jesus can make this audacious claim because he is the Lord of all, because he knows us. He created our frame. And as we read in Philippians 2, he took on our flesh and he knows our struggles and he knows our weariness. Jesus initiates the invitation, and we respond to it. Let's talk about those who are invited, the invitees. Notice two things about who is invited. Jesus says, come to me all, all. Jesus' invitation is extended to everyone. No matter what your shameful past is, no matter what guilt you're wrestling with, this invitation is for you. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic. Jesus' invitation is addressed with your name on it. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian in your background, a Muslim, a Jew, a Buddhist, or a communist. This invitation is for you. Jesus graciously extends his invitation to all. We'll talk about some of the implications of that later on. But secondly, Jesus' invitation is for those who are weary, for those who have labored hard, for those who are weighed down with burdens. And I would think that every one of us can identify, at least in some respect, with being worn out, weary, fatigued, tired, under a lot of pressure, or someone we love is going through that, right? That's life. That's life in a fallen world here. And Jesus says, if you are worn out, if you are fatigued, if you're carrying around emotional baggage and burdens, Jesus says, I am calling you. This invitation is for you. If you spent your life trying to prove your worth to a father who might even be deceased, or you're trying to prove your worth to yourself or your peers, and you're so worn out trying to do that, Jesus has your number. If your life feels like a game of whack-a-mole, where you get rid of one problem and the next one comes up and the next pressure and the next deadline, and you say, is it ever going to stop? Jesus summons you to find rest in him. You know, it's an invitation, but it's an invitation from the King. We could say it's a divine summons. You have been summoned, not to jury duty, not to court, but you've been summoned to the Holy of Holies, where the Lord wants to give you rest. Come to me, Jesus says, if you're worn out and restless and weighed down, and I will give you rest. It's what Jesus did in Mark 6:31 when the disciples had a busy time of ministry, and he says, come away with me and find rest. Rest with him. And so, come to me, you who are labor and are heavy laden. Secondly, we have the promise. The promise is, Jesus says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. John Bloom, in two articles in Desiring God, has a lot of helpful insights here that I've borrowed from. He writes of the simplicity of Jesus' promise when he just says, I will give you rest. Pretty simple, right? Jesus doesn't offer us a fourfold path to peace-giving enlightenment like Buddha did. Jesus doesn't give us the five pillars of peace through submission as Islam does. And Jesus doesn't give us 10 ways to relieve your weariness, which we pragmatic, self-help-oriented Americans are so drawn to, right? Oh, here's the website, here's the book on how to find peace. Let me see what the 10 steps are. No. Jesus simply offers himself as the universal solution to all of our burdens. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. You know, it's interesting in the scriptures, the times where Jesus prefaces something with come. Do you remember the first time? Matthew 4, 19, Jesus is seeing the fishermen, and he goes, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus talks about, in a parable, a king who says, come to my banquet and enjoy a feast. In Matthew 25, he says, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. There are many times where Jesus says, come, and then he calls us to himself. I think that's one of the things that attracted me many years ago as a teenager when I felt burdened with teenage responsibilities and angst and so forth that teenagers often find. And I cried out to God, and Jesus basically, through someone witnessing to me, said, come to Jesus. He's what you need. He will give you rest. So this promise is refreshingly simple in that we don't need to go to Bible college or seminary to figure out how it works. Rather, Jesus says, come to me and rest in the certainty of who I am and what I have done for you. Come to me. I know the best way and the best path to bring deep rest for your troubled souls. Come to me, he says. Cast your anxieties upon me. Why? Because I care for you more than you can ever imagine. 1 Peter 5:7. Jesus says, or the Gospels, Scripture tells us in Proverbs 3:5, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And I'm going to give you rest for your souls. Really simple. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and keep coming to Jesus. You know, guys especially, we get something, an appliance or something, and there's a set of instructions, usually in about 14 different languages. And typically, as guys, right, what do? We don't even look at the instructions. I know how to do this. And then as the thing is not working together, where were those instructions? It's not that way with Jesus. He says, come to me. I'm what you need. And I love that our Christianity is a relational faith. It's not come over there, do this. It's come to the one who has died for you, who loves you, who understands you, who knows you, and who will uphold you, and who will hold you fast, as we just sang a few minutes ago. In offering this gift of rest, I think Jesus is saying, your deepest need, my deepest need, is a deep rest for our souls. Because aren't we restless without him? I think so many of the songs, the movies, the books of today reveal a restlessness. I've tried this, I've done that, I've gotten married, I've got divorced, I've had this job, and I just don't find peace of mind. And Jesus says, that's what I am here for. English clergyman George Herbert, who lived in the late 1500s, early 1600s, wrote a poem that captured this idea of rest called the pulley. And if you were in my class, my mobilized class on weariness and rest, you know what I'm talking about here. Basically, he says, when God made mankind, if you could imagine a jar full of blessings, and here is mankind, and the Lord is pouring out these blessings upon us, one blessing after another. But there's one blessing at the bottom of the jar that he says, stop. And let's pick that up here. This is the third stanza of the poem. God says, and if I should, said he, bestow this jewel, the jewel of rest, also on my creature, he, mankind, would adore my gifts instead of me. And he would rest in nature, not the God of nature, so both should losers be. Do you get the picture? If God gives us all the blessings and total rest and peace, what need do we have of God? I've got it all. And so God says, I'm going to hold back on this gift of rest. And next verse. Yet let him keep the rest, a play on words, let him keep the rest of the blessings, but keep them with repining restlessness. Let him be rich and yet weary, that at least, if goodness lead him not to God, yet weariness may toss him to my breast. George Herbert is teaching us that God wisely and graciously held back the gift of ultimate rest because his plan was that we would see our need for him all the time. We would be unsatisfied with the blessings of the world, the other good blessings that God gives, and we would say, Lord, in you alone can I find my rest. As Augustine famously said, Lord, you have made us for yourself, but our hearts are restless. What? Until we find our rest in you. Third, there's this marvelous exchange, a marvelous exchange. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just look at that invitation from Jesus and notice the personal pronouns. Right? Jesus says, my yoke, from me, for I am gentle. For my yoke, my burden. And then what's the flip side? It's the second person. Take my yoke upon you. You will find rest for your souls. You see the relationship that's involved here. This is not, what can we do? What path can we follow? What can we give up? What can we take on? Jesus says, this is about a relationship between you, my creatures, my loved ones, and the Son of God. In Jesus' day, in order to plow a field, you would put a wooden yoke, which is a cross piece, and there's a picture of it here, a wooden cross piece over the necks of two strong animals that enable them to together pull a plow that would plow up the field so you could turn it over, put the seed, and so forth in that way. It was a way of effectively taking the strength of two animals, having them work together through a yoke. And you might say, it doesn't sound like a very restful imagery. Like, who wants a yoke around your neck? I mean, can you imagine you and the person next to you being yoked together? It seems the opposite of rest, doesn't it? But wait, those hearing this invitation were living under a religious yoke that was extremely burdensome and heavy. For the Pharisees imposed a wearisome legalism. Now, You may be aware of the fact that in the Old Testament, they counted up and there were 613 laws in the Old Testament. Some of them positive, you shall do this. Some of them negative, you shall not do that. 613. In fact, some of the Jews would wear garments with 613 tassels so they would remember each one of them. Now, that's the law of God. The law of God is wise and beautiful and so forth. But here was the problem. Around each of those laws, the Pharisees set fences or hedges, man-made laws, so you wouldn't even get close to disobeying one of them. So, for instance, on this Sabbath day, a day that's meant to give you rest, enjoy God, and all those things, they had 39 categories of work that regulated that day. So, for instance, you could not tie a knot unless you could do it with one hand. Two hands was considered work. Ladies, you couldn't walk by a mirror because if you saw gray hair, you'd be tempted to pick it out, and that would be work. There were all these minutia laws. And so you can see, like, here's the day of rest, but am I breaking it? Am I doing this? You know, you couldn't carry a handkerchief in your pocket and walk because that would be work. You say, well, that's silly. But imagine living under that kind of culture, always wondering, am I breaking the law? Am I under God's condemnation? Should I do this? Should I not do that? And Jesus says, do I have a yoke for you that's light and easy? And takes that yoke of the Pharisaical legalism off of your shoulders. But what is Jesus really offering us then? Because a yoke still seems like a burden or work to us. Well, Jesus, I think, answered that question in John 6:29. John 6:29, he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. You want to know the work he's calling you to? Believe in him. Trust in him. Or as John 15:4 says, abide in me. Jesus is calling us to come to him, to trust him, to believe in him, to abide in him, to enjoy him. He says, that's the yoke I'm calling you to. You see, it's faith in Christ resting on the hopeful invitation of God and the gracious character of God. We might call this a marvelous yoke exchange. A marvelous yoke exchange. You've been carrying these burdens, these expectations, and your neck is chafed and calloused. And Jesus says, take off that yoke. Give it to me. I will take it to the cross and die for you and your sins and your guilt and your shame and your burdens. And I will give you a light yoke that is a relationship. You know, wasn't in my notes, but I just think of it now. I wear on my finger a wedding ring. Oh, what a burden to carry a wedding ring around, right? I'm yoked. Yes, what a joy to be yoked, to be joined to someone that you love, right? That's no burden at all. It is, as we say, a labor of love. It is a joy and delight. How much more when the Lord gives us his yoke and says, come to me. I want to relate to you. I want you to relate to me. I want you to enjoy all that I created you to be and all that I redeemed you to be. As R.T. France in his commentary says, the rest Jesus offers is not a release from all obligation. But because of who Jesus is, his demands are such that to respond to them is rest and relief. We think we find rest and relief in a lazy boy chair in 2 weeks at the beach, and you can find some rest in that, but it's temporary. It doesn't last. Jesus says, the rest I offer you is to come to me. Come, I will make you fishers of men. Come to my banqueting table. Come, die to yourself, follow me, take up your cross daily, and you will find rest for your souls. It's all in being related to Jesus Christ. Let me flesh out some implications for us in conclusion here. First, this invitation is for every one of you and for me. There are so many ways this morning in which you might feel weary and burdened. Some of you are weary in caring for sick children, elderly parents, or a spouse with a disability. Some of you are burdened from the sin of addictions, or you're helping someone who is. Some of you may be laboring under guilt or a false guilt. Maybe you're here and you are an active Christian and you're busy at church and ministries, but you're weary of well-doing and you feel like a martyr that others take advantage of. Oh, they'll do it. Oh, we can kind of, and you say, what am I? Perhaps you are worn out as you try to live up to other people's expectations of you, or expectations you've put on yourself that God never did. Perhaps you're weary from a sense of being a perfectionist, or for having OCD. It just wears you out. Legalism, and legalism can be in every church, legalism can wear you out. Sin can burden you, or maybe you're just tired of being tired. And Jesus whispers to you and he says, come to me and I will give you rest. I had the privilege of teaching a mobilized class the last few months about weariness and rest, and I studied and so forth, but you know what? Every day when I take a walk or different times, I just need to say, Lord, I'm weary. I need to come to you again. It's something we give to him, we do, but we do it every day and find rest in him. Secondly, this invitation is for us together. This invitation is for us corporately. You see, his invitation is not meant to be in isolation from one another. He intends for us to come to him in community. Because when we're weary, it's so easy to get discouraged, isn't it? And we have a little pity party and we go down and we just get worn out. And so Jesus says, you need others. He says to us in Hebrews 10:25, don't neglect meeting together, but keep encouraging one another. Exhort one another every day, Hebrews 3:13, because the day is hard, it's wicked. A lot will bring you down. And so even as Jody reminded us about prayer meetings, meeting for prayer. How do you look at a prayer meeting? Oh, prayer meeting, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be a burden, like so forth. You know, the last 6 years, I have had the privilege of having a Zoom prayer meeting with a number of other largely pastors in another denomination, and we pray for half an hour every Tuesday. It is one of the highlights of my week to pray, and we pray around a scripture together. It brings rest. It brings renewal when we pray, and we pray for each other. So I encourage you, don't look at prayer as a burden. Look at it as a time to sit at Jesus' feet and rest. I hope that Sunday morning we come and this is an oasis for us. And so we prepare our hearts. Lord, I want to rest in all that you are for us as we hear the gospel preached, as we sing these great songs, as we come to your table, may we find rest for our souls. Third, this invitation is for others. This invitation is for others that is outside of the church, who aren't in the kingdom yet. You know, sometimes we say, I don't know what to say to people in terms of sharing about Jesus with them. I just don't know where to start. Well, let me give you one possibility. Let's start with the assumption that everyone you talk to, everyone you meet, has burdens, is somewhat wearied, worn out, and fatigued, and is carrying around stuff that they don't know what to do with. That's probably a pretty good assumption. And so, as you pray, Lord, give me opportunity. As you meet people, as you ask loving, wise questions. How are you? What's happening in your life? Well, tell me about that situation. Oh, your kid's been in the hospital? You've been caring for your elderly father? You've just gone through surgery? You know there's weariness there, right? And you know the one who can give them rest. And so I'm not saying you dump the gospel at them right then, but that's the entry point. People are weary. And we want to introduce them to the one who gives us rest. Think about the Samaritan woman in John 4, right? Married 5 times, living with a man who's not her husband, comes to the well. Jesus meets her, talks about living water. What does she do? She goes back in town and she says to these people, come meet the man who told me everything I ever did. I want you to meet this guy because I went to the well to find physical water and he gave me living water for my soul. Come. Meet this guy, Jesus. And that's what we want to do. Lord, give us opportunity to say, I'd like you to meet the person who can give you rest for your souls. We have good news to give. Let's not be ashamed or embarrassed by it. There's a hymn by the Scots minister and hymn writer, Horatius Bonar. He wrote 600 hymns in his life. And one of them is, I heard the voice of Jesus say. Some of you old-timers might know that. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Come, thou weary one, and lay your head down upon my breast. And then the response is, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Let's ask that we would hear the voice of Jesus saying, come to me and find rest. Let's pray that others would want to find rest through Jesus. And lastly, in conclusion, this is an invitation to come to Jesus in all that he is and to find rest. When you have too much to do, and who doesn't? When your soul is overburdened or undernourished, when your burdens and cares seem too heavy and the workload never stops, come to Jesus in prayer as you cry out to him. And maybe you're saying, I'm not sure if I'm a great person to pray. You know what? Prayer is just saying, Lord, I'm desperate. I need you. I know over this last year and a half, I've just cried out to God so many times in the day, walking at night, Lord, I'm crying out to you. And he says, come to me with your burdens. Pour them out. I love you, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus in faith. And that means we're in the scriptures. We're thinking about God's promises and character, and we're saying, Lord, I believe what you say. I believe who you are, and I'm coming to you to find rest in faith in who you are and what your word says you are. Lord, I'm coming to you in hope. I'm coming to you in hope. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the ways that I think we can come to Jesus is through some of the great hymns and songs that we have available to us. Many times in my weariness, being worn out as I'm walking, I would just pull up my phone and I need a song from Casting Crown. I need a song from the Gettys about weariness and just walking and listening and letting a scripture-saturated song penetrate my weary soul, and God gives rest. He gives hope. Let's come to Jesus in one accord as we meet on Sundays or other times. What a privilege it is. There are people around the world who would give anything to be able to meet publicly like this and have preaching publicly and meet for the Lord's Supper and so forth. Let's not take this for granted. One of the ways that God says, come to me, is by coming as his people in corporate worship, hearing the word, taking the Lord's Supper, ministering to one another. Come to Jesus on this day, the Lord's Day. We're going to talk about this in 2 weeks. I know not all Christians agree. But you know, God built into the fabric of creation a 1 in 7 pattern, and it hasn't been erased. God says, work 6 days, rest 1. and let me show you. And he did it himself, not that he needed to. Are we using this day, a Sabbath, a ceasing from labors, to come to him in a refreshing way? Not just coming to church and doing what we want, but Lord, how can this day be a day of renewal and rest as I come to you in a special way? Let us come to Jesus with all our weariness, with all our burdens, and he promises to give you rest. My friends, no one can be neutral when the King issues a divine summons. And we have been issued a divine summons. Come to me and find rest. Will you come to Jesus today? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are not a heavy taskmaster. Thank you that your Son took on our burdens, our sins, our struggles, so that he could indeed offer us in this great exchange rest, rest from our sins, from our guilt, from our shame, rest from our burdens, and we could rest sitting, so to speak, in your lap, knowing that you hold us fast. Help us to believe, to trust, to abide in you, and find that Christ is our all in all. We ask it in his name. Amen.